This week, Ed interviews Rick Borstein, Business Development Manager for the Legal Community for Adobe Systems. Rick discusses the new version of Adobe Acrobat and how new features are of special interest to lawyers.
Rick, welcome and glad to have you with us.
Very glad to be here. Thank you, Ed.
I know that Adobe has gotten a new version of its Adobe Acrobat, and I think you said at one point that it was the first legal release of Acrobat. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think it's what the community is saying more so. This is the first version of Acrobat to have legal-specific features. And two that come to mind are Bates numbering, which, as you know, is the successive numbering of documents in litigation and discovery. And the second feature is redaction, which allows us to permanently remove data from a document. Very often, a judge will order documents to be redacted to remove personal information and so on.
Well, how is it that redaction is accomplished with Adobe? I mean, usually we just sit there and black out certain words that we don't want somebody else to see. How is it done electronically?
Well, you know, electronically we black them out too, Ed. But these days, when you think about discovery, so much information comes in electronically to begin with. It comes in our email, it comes in on CDs or on tape drives or what have you. And to take that information, print it all out, black it out, scan it back in, that's really time-consuming and potentially pretty expensive. Also, it makes review of the documents pretty difficult because a lot of times a paralegal and an attorney or a group of people work together to make sure that all the redactions are done correctly. And there's still some risk in doing paper-based redaction. There's actually algorithms out there in the net that the different spy agencies use. Based on the shape of the redaction marks, the magic marker you used, it actually can actually find the letters underneath. But be that as it may, what we do with Acrobat, Ed, is we give you a redaction toolbar. And using that redaction toolbar, you can remove or mark for redaction text. You can select text in the PDF. Or if it's an image-only PDF, something that perhaps came from a scanner, you can select areas of that page and mark them.
Now, when you redact something physically, you see it, you see the black mark or whatever it is, it's not erased, there is a space there at the very least. How does it show up when Adobe does it?
Well, that's a great question, and you have a number of options. But by default, you're going to get a black mark there, just like you use a black magic marker. Actually, it'd be perfect rectangle, so it'll look even better. But you can do a variety of other things. Depending on how the judge orders it, and in different courts and jurisdictions they do different things, you may need to, on top of that redaction mark, put the reason for the redaction. For example, in federal, the federal government, they spend about $300 million a year redacting documents. And there are sets of laws like the Freedom of Information Act, for example, or the U.S. Privacy Act, that require that certain codes be inserted along with those redactions. And we have those code sets built in. But in fact, you can choose what color that redaction mark will be. By default, it's black. You can choose to have text on top of it. You can repeat that text and so on. So, for example, if you were to black out a Social Security number, you could have the word SSN on top or Social Security number on top so that someone would know what was redacted and why.
In other words, you just type new text on it, or Adobe has codes already built in for it, or it just somehow knows what that text was and puts some kind of nomenclature for it there?
Well, actually two of those. You can choose a code set, and you can make your own, so you can just click on the code set you want. So when you select, when you mark something for redaction, you can right-click on it, choose the properties, and then choose the font, size, color, and various properties of that redaction. And then you can even set defaults there so that every time you redact something, it's there. Something that's unique about how the way we do redactions is that the first step is you mark the document for redaction, and you can go through it and mark items. But one thing that's kind of, sort of nice about it is that each of those redactions could become an Acrobat comment or annotation. That means they can be reviewed in a workflow with other attorneys or paralegals or so on. And finally, when everyone approves it, you can apply the redactions, which permanently deletes that information from the file. When you do that, Acrobat will give you the opportunity to do a save as. It's going to prompt you to give it a new name so you don't obliterate your original one, which you may need in some cases.
Well, Rick, I know that Adobe currently has many different attributes, and those who are skilled with the product can really do some marvelous things. Folks like me that just want to save the document to be able to send it by email or create a security basis for that document still find it easy to use, but in a limited way. It's sort of like the capacity of word processing, where most of us use only 10% of a program's capability. So I guess the next question that I would ask you is, how easy is the new version of Adobe Acrobat, since it sounds like you've added some more features that perhaps might make it more complex to use?
Well, what we try to do at Adobe with each release is make the new features and even the existing features more discoverable. And I don't mean that in the legal sense, Ed. I mean that so you can find out what you need. When you first install the program, a welcome screen will come up, and that welcome screen has several options on it. It allows you to secure files, combine files, create PDF, comment and review PDF, and so on. And there's big buttons that walk you through wizards that allow you to do those sort of operations. The other thing we've done that I think has been helpful to new users is we've limited the number of buttons and simplified the interface. In Acrobat 7 and in previous versions, there was something on the top, the left, the right, and the bottom of the screen. And there was a lot to look at and find. And now we put everything just in the left and the top. And there's less buttons in the button bar now. We've also, for those people who want to configure their toolbar, we've made that really easy. You can just right-click in the toolbar and choose this option called More Tools, which will bring up the ability for you to click on just the tools you want to appear in the toolbar.
If you've limited or reduced the number of buttons, does that make it harder to find the different attributes?
Well, we've reorganized our menu structure as well. So for the heavy-duty litigators out there who do, or litigation support people, we have a new menu called Document Processing. And in that new menu, that's where a lot of the sort of heavy lifting functions go. Things like Bates numbering, which go across lots of different documents, or batch processing, or usage rights and things like that.
Okay, so you really have to kind of determine whether you're a simple user, a medium user, or a heavy duty user, and then you can adjust accordingly.
You can, but even on that welcome screen, you can, with one click, get to some of those pretty heavy duty operations without a lot of effort. And the redaction tools are not hard to find, and they're all context sensitive. There's only four tools, so it's pretty straightforward to use. You really only need to use two of them. There's a mark for redact, for redaction, and apply redactions. With just those tools, you can redact any document.
Does Acrobat have more than one version now? I know at one point you had a standard and a professional.
Yes, we still do. There's actually five products in the product line. Typical solo and small firms will be most interested in Acrobat Standard or Pro. The main differences are, why you want to go to Pro, that is, are batch processing. So let's say you get 100 PDFs in, 100 TIFFs in litigation, and you want to run OCR in them so you can find that needle in the haystack in the document. That's very helpful to have batch processing for. It saves you a lot of time. If you want to do redaction, you'll need the professional version. We also have document comparison in the professional version, and that allows you to compare two PDFs to see the differences between them. So if you're working on a contract, you'll know whether someone added a zero. Some other differences are notable is this area of reader enablement. And this is pretty important because you can reader enable files to do four things. One thing that's new is you can reader enable form save. So you could create a form in Acrobat, send it to a client who doesn't have anything but the free Adobe Reader, and they could fill it in now and save the results. And that's a big change for us at Adobe, but that's something new that our customers have asked for. You can also enable anyone with the free Adobe Reader to add comments, signatures, and notes, sticky notes, and so on top of the document. You can enable our typewriter tool, which is a way to just type on top of any document. It's not the same as form fill. It's sort of a different sort of one-off use. And lastly, you can also enable digital signatures. So we give you the power as an Acrobat professional user to sort of extend on a document-by-document basis these new capabilities to someone with a free reader, because you can't dictate what your clients buy.
This sounds almost like a word processing application. How would you use Adobe if you've created something in Word or WordPerfect?
Well, let's say you had a contract and you wanted to send it to your client to review. What you might do in Word or WordPerfect is create a PDF from there. In the Office applications, we give you a one-button PDF creator. And from any other application, you can go to File, choose Print, and choose the Adobe PDF Print Driver. That'll make your PDF for you. From there, you can send it out for review. And someone with a free reader can add notes and comments to it if they have any questions, and they can send that back to you. You, in turn, can look at all the notes and comments and adjust your document accordingly. If you started in Word, and that's your authoring tool, you can also export the comments back to Word as track changes.
Now, one of the things that I know was touted about Adobe was its security feature, that if you sent a PDF file, the recipient couldn't change it. Is that still true? Or if you get a PDF, you can now modify it with the current version, the new version of Adobe?
Well, that's a little bit of a loaded question, because unless someone specifically applies security to a file, you can change a PDF, but it's a lot harder to change than in Word or WordPerfect. Acrobat is not primarily an editing application. It's an archive or presentation type of application. You can edit a few characters at a time in Acrobat if you want to, but it's kind of hard to do. Still, if I had a $1 million contract out there and I wanted to make sure it didn't change, I would probably apply security to the file to make sure that doesn't happen.
And you can do that with Adobe just by getting the right button and,
sure,
and indicating.
A security button right in the main toolbar that allows you to easily apply security to files. So, for example, you could keep someone from printing a document or copying text from it. You could apply passwords to it so that only someone with a password could open it up.
Which version would you – I'm sorry?
There's a lot of different sorts of security, and that would be a whole other phone call, Ed. But,
okay.
But very powerful.
What version would you recommend for our listeners in the legal community?
Well, if you litigate, especially, we would definitely recommend Acrobat Professional, because the batch processing tools in there are really something that can save you a lot of time. If all you do is look at PDFs occasionally and want to comment on them, Acrobat, and maybe make a PDF here or there, Acrobat Standard will certainly work for you. But Acrobat Pro seems to be the choice in the legal profession. We sell about 55% pro professional into the legal profession against standard.
And overall, what's the difference in the pricing?
Well, Acrobat Standard new is $299, and Acrobat Pro new is $449. So it's about $150 difference. And if any of your listeners already have Acrobat, they can upgrade from standard to the standard version for $99, or from either standard or professional to professional 8 version for $159.
Okay. And going back to the security issue for just a moment, one of the issues that I've seen recently in some of the literature is the concern over metadata and what's in the document that we don't even recall, and clearly we don't see it. How does Adobe deal with this, if at all?
Well, you know, a lot of our customers have concerns about that. In the legal market, metadata has a broader definition than in the regular business market. In the legal market, we generally refer to metadata as anything we can't readily see that could lead to an accidental disclosure. And in both Acrobat Standard and Pro version 8, we have a new feature called Examine Document. And what the Examine Document feature will do is find those potential risks for you. So one risk is improper redaction. And we saw this in a number of cases recently, and where someone went into Word, used borders and shading to kind of make the background of a paragraph black and made the text black on top of it. So it appeared like the text wasn't there, but in fact the text was. You could select it in Word, and when converted to PDF, it would still be there. Using the Examine Document tool, we will flag those and find them. We'll also find any instances of document metadata like title, subject, author, keywords, comments in the document, maybe bookmarks that led to text that could be revealing, if there were file attachments, and other sort of risky things. And in one fell swoop, you can delete all of that. One of the nice benefits of that Examine Document feature that a lot of our customers have told us about is it can also remove the layer of hidden text from a document that's been OCR'd. And in the legal community, maybe we've got a whole set of OCR documents and we need to send them to the other side. Why give them any advantage, right? Why give them the OCR goodness that we've spent a lot of time doing? We can remove that using our Examine Document tool before we send that over.
And is this Examine Document feature only in Pro, or is it in Standard as well?
It's in both Standard and Pro, Ed, because we think that, you know, that removing the risk from sending out documents is important to everybody.
Okay. And what's a PDF package? I've heard that phrase used from time to time.
Well, a PDF package is a new concept in Acrobat 8, and you can think of it as sort of a FedEx envelope, if you will. And inside your FedEx envelope might be several different documents. And attached to each of those documents might be attachments, other documents. That's the notion of a PDF package. And some expressions are if a PDF package might be an email archive. So think about one PDF that's self-contained, which in fact contains a list of other PDFs, which is sortable by sort of like a spreadsheet-like interface. And inside each of those other PDFs might be an attachment, maybe a Word file, a PDF file, an Excel file, who knows. But we can take your email using our email archiving feature, and that works in Outlook and Lotus Notes, and create one self-contained, compressed PDF package. Some other uses for PDF packages are document binders or closing binders. You know, you've finished up a pretty lengthy real estate transaction. You've got a few hundred documents that you need to get to your client. You can put them in a PDF package where they can stand alone, or you can print them all at once using batch printing, or you can print them one at a time. And in that sortable spreadsheet-like interface, you can even add other header fields. So you can describe what each of those documents is for your client. And we're starting to see that lawyers are interested in using the PDF package concept for trial notebooks, for closing binders, for litigation summaries, for a way to put all the documents in litigation they're working on so they can search across them, because you can search across every document in the package, too. It's a concept that is a little easier to see than to explain, so I would recommend that if you want to try that out, listeners to this broadcast can actually download a full working 30-day trial of Acrobat Professional from our website at adobe.com/acrobat.
So the PDF package, then, that would be in the Pro only?
No, that's in Standard, too.
It's also in Standard.
Also in Standard. And what's great about it is you can create a PDF package, and anybody with the free reader can work with it and use it and so on.
Okay.
They can't add things to it or change it, but they can be the recipient for all this work you've done.
Let me show you a little bit of my ignorance by asking you the question about OCR capabilities and Acrobat. What's the difference between the two, and how does Adobe utilize OCR?
Well, one of the challenges with OCR, Ed, is that it's not perfect. It's a machine attempt to look at a picture of a page and make it readable, turn it into text. And the challenges with that is that if you OCR to, say, a Word file, you'll see all the characters you don't see, and you're not sure which ones match up. What Acrobat can do is create what's called an image plus text PDF, and we maintain a perfect representation of the original scan page, but we place an invisible layer of optically recognized text on top so that you can select text right on your original image of the page. What's new about Acrobat 8 is we do it more accurately and faster. And we also, now if you scan into Acrobat, we can control your scanner natively. So if you have a Twain or ISIS-compatible scanner, and those are just two standard scanner driver types, we call them, you can directly control your scanner. And I have a new Canon DR2580C, which I actually blogged about on my blog, which I'll share with you later. And it was real interesting to use this scanner with Acrobat, and I was just really pleased with the results and how I could control it directly, and that saved me a lot of time.
Well, your response leads me into perhaps our final question, and that is, how is it that I can learn more about, or our listeners can learn more about Acrobat, what it does, and how they can take advantage of its capabilities?
Well, you know, Acrobat is a product we sell, you know, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of at Adobe, and there's many, many third-party books available on Acrobat today. For the lawyers and attorneys and people in the legal profession, there's a couple of resources that are legal-specific that I'd recommend. Ernie Svensson, who's a fellow you know, has the PDF for Lawyers website. That's worth a visit. David Masters, who is the author of the ABA's Lawyer's Guide to Adobe Acrobat, it's one of their best-selling books. And people can purchase that at either Amazon.com or ababooks.org. And finally, I have a blog available where I blog specifically on legal topics in the use of Acrobat. And people can get that at http://blogs.adobe.com/acrolaw, A-C-R-O-L-A-W. AW.
Okay. Well, that's a whale of an a lot of information in a very short period of time. I want to thank you, Rick, for joining us again, and look forward to seeing you at ABA Tech Show and Legal Tech East in the future.
Thank you so much, Ed. My pleasure.
You have been listening to a LawBiz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about LawBiz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.